Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios for the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one and only John Ramos.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Again, I want to give a shout-out this morning to Javon. We love you, man. We're praying for you. We're thinking about you on today's broadcast. Give a shout-out this morning to Sharon. We're excited about what God is going to be doing through you and your love for Him and the people of Aurora, California. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We had a wonderful conversation in our first hour as we were just discussing what's taking place. I want to continue to pray for the people in the police department in Anaheim, California. And notice this, notice what happens, that when something takes place in a city or a county, who are the ones that show up? Mm. Do the mayor show up? Nope. Mm-mm. It's the police officers and it's the sheriffs, the deputy sheriffs and the sheriffs that show up. And notice that they are your line of physical defense. You need, yeah. And getting back to the Constitution and understanding the laws, realize that you need to build a relationship with your local sheriff's department. You need to build a relationship with your police department, that what's going to happen as we're progressing in what's taking place in America is they always have, but they're going to need your help more than ever because there's not going to be enough of them to go around.
That's right.
And understand this, that, you know, sheriffs could deputize you. The law specifically states that at any moment, remember we talked about this in the Second Amendment, that there can be a right to bear and possess arms, and there could be militia, where it's kind of an unofficial, unorganized army, if you would, that would be able to protect a city or protect a county or protect a neighborhood. And a sheriff can literally come to you and deputize you. He or she could say, you know, I need your help. Mm. And immediately, as soon as they do that, the law recognizes, first of all, you as an American citizen, you got a constitutional right to do that. Secondly, that you can verify this with your constitutional laws for your state and your city and make sure, you know, in regards to that, or you can just talk to your sheriff. But understand this, then if things start cranking up like they're cranking up and they're going to crank up, you know, that they're going to need you. And you're going to need leaders. You're going to need leaders who understand that. You know, that it's us together. It's America together, standing together for our mothers, our fathers, our children, you know, and all the situation. And so they're going to need us. And one thing they're going to need us to do is to stand up for them when they stand up for us.
Yeah.
Don't jump on the bandwagon of, you know, immediately trying to second guess an officer's decision and understanding that you weren't there.
That's right.
You know, you just weren't there, and it's totally different because you're talking, you know, I've spent some time in law enforcement. You know, I was on the streets, and it's different when the gun's pointing at you. You know, it's different when they're threatening your life, you know, and mm-hmm. you have a wife and you have a family and, you know, you have a right to live. And nobody says that you should go home that night with a broken nose mm-hmm. just because you decided to help the community and take that particular occupation. And it's just hard to be there, you know, in the context, you know, of unless you're there. So it's better to wait and understand, if we talk about the Constitution, original intent, we're going to talk more about it in the future, is that we all have a right to be tried by a jury of our peers. So several citizens will come in and look at the situation, and they will make a recommendation whether a crime has been committed or not, or probable cause, and then it will progress from there. We should honor our peers, a jury of our peers. You're not guilty because you go, somebody's you know, going to court. You're actually finding out, you know, that justice would be served.
That's
justice
right.
Sometimes could mean that you know, innocent men are going free and guilty men are going to jail. And so that's what it's for. And so we don't want to jump on the bandwagon because the enemy will begin to try to divide us from each other and all of a sudden start to accuse the very ones that are standing up for us. And we just need to wait things out and be able to stand there. For example, you know, just in our city, we just had an officer that was working in a particular area that he got shot in the gut, you know, in his chest area, his abdominal area. And the bulletproof vest stopped it. But that's sort of like saying, you know, I got hit with a bat, but I'm okay.
Right.
You know, it's not, right. Everybody goes, oh, it just bounces off like a cartoon. No, it doesn't. Wow. It's like getting hit with, you know, bat. Actually getting hit with a 2x4, probably being thrown by his major. But the I know that because I've been shot, you know. Been in ministry a long time.
Yeah.
No. And so but it's so important to understand that it's a dangerous line of work. He's doing well, I understand, and we just need a community and leaders who stand with those officers and understands that you know, it's going to be some rough times. It's going to be some rough times. You want praying men and praying women. You want abiding men and abiding women. Go to iabide.org. Find out what abiding is. Do it yourself. And then ask the question to your leaders, do you abide?
That's right.
Because a lot of people pray, but they don't wait for the answer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going to a kid going to their father and say, can I borrow the keys? I borrow the car, and just grabs the keys and walks out the front door. It's like, did you even wait for your dad's answer?
Right.
You know, it would have been probably maybe, no, or right. Where are you going, or what do you want to do with it? You know, I do want to talk about, you know, what is the top three? And we're going to top three because the top five, we want to be able to, you can see, always see the top, you know, on the VFN torch. When you get to the VFN torch is where we carry things to the next level, from highlights about the VFN radio program and VFN TV, about articles, for example, just speaking about the arrest in Anaheim. You can go right there right now and see the video of what's taking place. Remember, any videos that we're sharing of others, it's like a news report in regards to the content. We can never guarantee that you're probably you may hear real life. You will hear real life, but you know, that's the real. That's the reality of things. And we got to quit burying our heads in some, you know, religious mindset and get out and about amongst the people. You know, Jesus was friend of the sinner. Can you imagine what was being said around Jesus?
That's right.
Because he was there. It was only the Pharisees who walked in and said, what are you doing here?
Imagine that.
You know, what are you doing here? It's like, I'm here because this is the Father's business. This one.
Right.
I've come for the sick, you know?
Right. The interesting thing is that, you know, they needed help. they were pretty sick. Well, I'm looking at the top three here. The top three is, the first one, again, is Islam infiltrates the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. It's still on the top today.
Wow.
Today. And this is Michelle Bachman. This is an interview on GBTV. And in addition to what we're talking about and what we're sharing, you can see this on the torch right now. You can see it. You go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and go there. And you got to see this. This is, and there's a lot of holes being punched in our ship. And it's almost like our president is a set man. If you go back and you learn God's ways and you see what he does, because God directs a king's heart like a water course.
Right.
I mean, nobody pulls one over on God. I mean, look at Herod. Herod stood up and he took credit for things and he fell dead, right?
That's right.
Yes, sure.
Ananias and Sapphira thought they were talking to Peter, but they were talking to God and they
fell dead.
I mean, and so understand, if a man lives, it's because God allows the man to live. If a man is doing, the leader's doing these certain things, we have to ask ourselves, have we poured this on ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Has the church sinned? And the answer would be
absolutely.
Yes. And have we left God's ways and held on to our traditions and our philosophies big time? And you know, we're paying 1.3, according to George Barner statistics, we're paying $1.3 million. $1 million per baptized believer.
Wow.
What? Come on.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if anyway, We're not going to get on that. That's the original intent of the church. We'll talk more about that. Okay. It ain't working.
Okay. It ain't working. You promise we can go there, right?
Yes, yes. We got to go there because we want you to be free. It's not as complicated as religion has called it to be. It's not as it's just not that hard.
Mm. That's right.
But he is holy. So it's a combination of a reverential fear of God and understanding of his love for you that brings you. I mean, if you don't have fear, you need fences. So I mean, don't think you need to be outside of some fenced in area as a sheep, for example, if you have no fear of God, because you know, you'll be devoured the second you step out. The fence is important for those that don't have a fear of God. And America needs a fear of God. The church needs to the fear of God is a gift.
Yeah.
It's just a gift.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrifying, but it's loving. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And, you know, God will hold you over, hold a man. I think it's Jonathan Edwards says this. He said this. You know, Jonathan Edwards said, which is part of the first Great Awakening in America.
I believe so.
Yeah. That God will take a man and hold him over hell, just dangle his feet over hell, and then bring him back and put him down to be able to teach his message, to share his heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, and that instills the fear of God in you to understand that hell is real and heaven is real and that it's appointed once for a man to die and then the judgment. And then these decisions that are happening are very easy for somebody who fears God. They're not that complicated. They're only complicated when you think God is a Democrat, he has a democracy, not a Democrat. He's a democracy. He has a theocracy. He's in charge. We follow him. He's right.
That's it.
Let every man be a liar. Well, I was thinking, too, because he says, cast that thought down if it don't line up with his, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We need to have a vote. He already voted, and we said, yes, what are you going to vote on? You know?
Exactly.
All right.
He said, you know, we take every thought, you know, and hold it, take it captive, and force it to be in compliance and agreement to our King, to our God. Mm. It's you know everything's talking about, you know, democracy. First of all, America's not even a democracy. It's a republic. But the church, the kingdom of God, is a theocracy. God is in charge.
That's right.
And when we don't understand that and we start creating our own rules, we just rebelled against the King.
Mm.
Not going to go well, because you know, all authority is established by God, and they don't bear the sword for nothing.
Mm.
And he's there to punish the wrongdoer, Romans chapter 13, right. 1 through 5. And understand this, that we need to quickly get back to the church where we're supposed to be, or discipline's coming. You know what I mean? Discipline.
That's right.
And the second is, you know, worshiping on the pitcher mounds. You have R.A. Dickey. There he is right there in the top three of the torch. You check it out.
R.A. Dickey.
R.A. Dickey. Mets. Yeah, my letters got all discombobulated there.
But he's worshiping the Lord.
What does the R.A. stand for?
So
because
awesome.
I always call him R.A.
Huh?
What's the R.A. stand for? Because we always call him R.A.
Something. I think it's Robert Allen.
Robert Allen.
I think it's Robert Allen.
Okay. Well, but he's number two. He's talking about worshiping God when he does his job. Listen, these sports figures right now that we're seeing, like, you know, R.A. Dickey. Jeremy Lin,
Tim Tebow,
Drew Brees.
These are men who do their job well. At the same time, they acknowledge God.
Yeah, even Josh Hamilton for the New York Rangers. He's leading the majors right now, in major leagues with home runs, and just outspoken, just believer for God. Just awesome, awesome story for him.
The Texas Rangers.
That's right, Pat.
Yeah, you said New York. Okay.
Everything's New York to him. You know what I'm saying?
I know it.
Sorry,
except when
he
doesn't claim the mayor of New York. You know, he claims their teams.
Right,
of course, they play in Jersey, right?
No. Well, football.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That New York has to go to Jersey to play ball.
Hey, something. Come on! Ain't nothing wrong with Jersey now. Come
no,
on,
oh no, I'm just go. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that as a negative to Jersey. I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're all this. You know,
Oh yeah, yeah. And
but,
they have to come to.
But
Jersey,
he has to come to Jersey to learn how to play ball.
And most of their players live in New Jersey too. So
isn't that interesting? Well, this is just really strange, isn't it? Does the mayor even live in New York? He probably lives in upstate New York somewhere.
He probably lives in New Jersey.
Does he? Really? Are you serious?
No.
He has a little tunnel like Gotham City that he goes like Batman goes under the streets and stuff. And so, so you want to check that out. These guys are taking a stand for God, and they're setting an example for us that if you just do your job with integrity, and they work hard. I mean, I got a video that's in my office that's sitting there. I've watched it once without, I hadn't opened this particular video, but I've seen it broadcast and I kept it because just watching Tim Tebow, what he does to stay fit and how he pushes himself, I'm thinking like, man, if we as the church would have that kind of integrity and that kind of push for the things of God, and even in your job, whatever job you have, that you would work it like that. And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And he just does it uncompromisingly. And he's not, you know, he's not no wimp when it comes to God either, or it comes to football. He's in the locker room going, we're going to win. You know, it's okay to have that kind of, you know, aggression,
intensity
and stuff. And the third is, you know, evidence is talking about, again, about the shooting situation in Aurora, Colorado, where the evidence, you know, proved that this guy's been plotting for quite some time. And so that is the top three on the torch today. And we'll be right back in just a moment.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFM radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
I mean, there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via VFN radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated. And it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. And that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I gotta go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed, you know. And so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go, whoa! You know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call in your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to, go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people out there right now are they're trying and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
So that's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful that you might be reading about their personal abiding experience today, calling it a devotional, and it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that he has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have eight-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And they're just it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh my goodness. iabide.org. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. We're in the extra hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We were just talking about, you know, what's taking place in the community and what's taking place with, you know, where we are as a people and how we got to be able to follow God in his ways. Know this. Know that that God has a plan. And he's looking for people to believe him. Ooh. And that, you know, when the best, he does his most awesome work when his people's backs are against the wall and they have no choice but to turn to him. That's and right. It's getting there, and be prepared for it, because there's a people he raises up in the midst of that to be able to tell them what to do when their backs are against the wall. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? And he's preparing. We've been digging trenches for years. We've been laying things down, and God's about to rain down upon his people in a powerful way. And his church is going to be a great, great thing. God does his best work, you know, when, you know, his people's backs are against the wall, because that's when, you know, no matter what's going on, they look up.
That's right.
They look up and they begin to pray. I do want to say on the torch, don't forget, we just talked about, you know, about voting in the extra or the first hour, but go to the torch and up in the right-hand corner, anything you want to know about that's been talked about and shared about within the VFN, in VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, you just start typing in a topic, something that you're interested in or what you're, and it'll come up. There's practically something about, and we're always trying to do, you know, shine the light, talk about reality, what's taking place, to illuminate what's taking place. And then look at it with, you know, God's word. What is, put the light of God's word on the situation And then we want to be able to inspire you to how to respond to it. But then we want to activate you. And so we're hoping to begin to get you to start thinking in a conversation-wise about what to do. So you go to the Torch every day and find out, you know, what is the most recent articles, and they'll always be at the top. But you can search for anything, and you can share that with your friends. For example, I was saying that so that you can go and find out if you're not registered to vote, find out if you're registered to vote or not by going there and type in the word vote, and you'll have several articles come up, and go to the one that says, you know, are you registered to vote? And it says, abide, be informed, and vote. And it has everything you need there. Just type in vote, and you'll see it come up, and you'll see several of them come up because we've talked about it. We want you to get registered to vote. 33 million conservatives think they are, and they're not. And you're going to show up at the polls, and it's not going to be. They're not going to make a big deal about it because they're not going to embarrass you. And you're not going to tell everybody, hey, I didn't vote. And so you'll see people going like, I should be registered to vote. It's like, no, you just didn't check. You didn't check. So we're going to live with your lack of choice for the next 4 years because you didn't get involved in it. They're going to make policies. They're going to make, you know, where we're going to be, you know, in the next 4 years. And so just go there now. You can click on it, and you can check and see if you're registered. If you're not registered, you can register right then. Right then. And so I just want to encourage you to be able to do that as well. Well, you know, it's time for our wisdom moment. You know, it is the 25th of the month, and we always look at whatever chapter in Proverbs that corresponds to that. And Proverbs 25 is that particular chapter today. And I'm going to read from chapter 25, verse 19. It's so important. It's so, so true. It reads this. This is Proverbs 25, 19. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. Let me read that one more time. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. Have you ever had a bad tooth?
Oh, yes.
I mean, think about
several.
It. I mean, it's just like, it's just radiant. Even though it's a small little thing, you know, it could just like radiates like, how is my foot hurting because my tooth is hurting? It's like these nerves that just come into your just like, ah, you know what I'm saying? And if you ever had a bad tooth and you had to get a root canal or that kind of stuff, you know, when they actually drill your teeth and they do that kind of stuff and they actually knock you out. They don't knock you out to be able to do it. Oh, they're not supposed to knock you out? They give you a deadening stuff. They give you like deadening, you know, shots, Novocaine or whatever. And you're laying there in the chair. And you're supposedly numb, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what you say, right? Can you feel something? Yep. And they give you another shot. Can you feel something? Yep. You know, at that time you really can't, but you want to give a couple more yeps just in case, right? Can you feel something? Yep, I can feel it. He's like, no, you can't. Yeah, you give me another thought. Just to make sure. I want to make sure my leg goes numb before you start drilling on my mouth. And so, your stuff is numb in your mouth, but when they start, you know, you're bringing in the jackhammer, whatever they're going to do on it. I mean, I remember sitting there, you know, years ago, you know, God's blessed me at this point. It's been a while, but I could feel the vibration of that drill all the way down my spine.
I guess.
And I was going, it's hard to talk when somebody's got a jackhammer in your mouth. And so I just felt that, you know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's so important. You don't pay attention to teeth quite often until you don't have them or they're hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to pay attention to them. But a bad tooth, think about it, that, you know, relying on the unfaithful, somebody who's just not faithful, you can't count on them. It's like a bad tooth. And it's like a lame foot. You ever had a lame foot?
Yeah.
Man, you've just been so blessed. You've just been blessed, John. You had a lame foot, right? I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
lame
that?
Foot, leg.
Yeah. Nothing like sports.
Yeah.
I didn't know ankles could bend that way.
Yeah.
What's that?
Enemy.
Oh, enemy. But I remember his foot, you know, when he had come in years ago and he was playing ball and he took a turn and his foot didn't take a turn. Or it took a turn
the wrong way.
The wrong way. Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's like weird, man. Mm-hmm. It was like, ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I just can't explain it, but it's not supposed to happen that way. Mm-hmm. And it just, for a while, then you got to recover. Mm-hmm. You got to recover from that.
All the time.
And I remember I was throwing a paper route years ago, and I had stepped on a piece of glass. Because it was early in the morning, you just jump in the car and take off the route.
Barefooted?
You know, yeah, it was before I had a frontal lobe. Forgive me. You know, I needed the frontal part of my brain hadn't fully developed yet. And so I'm just throwing this paper route or whatever, but I stepped on a piece of glass and cut my foot. And so, of course, what you do is you wrap it in those plastic bags. You've got to finish your route, man. I'm dedicated.
Oh, man.
I am dedicated. The challenging thing I do is I would throw it with the lights out. I turn the lights out and kind of drive the route and throw the paper and stuff. All those kind of things.
The headlights, you mean?
Yes, the headlights. No. I left the lights on in the community. It was just the lights out. And so, but it just affected me for a long time. It literally made my foot numb. It took a while for the nerves to heal again, and I should have took better care of it the
maybe
moment.
Maybe it was plastic bag treatment.
Yeah, no, that didn't. Maybe. That didn't work. You know, I just had to keep all the alligators off of it. And so, it was a remote area, and so I mean, it was just it took a long time to recover from a lame foot.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it, and when you speak about it, I mean, he's comparing an unfaithful person to a bad tooth or a lame foot in troubled times. And so you think about it, we're in troubled times right now. Mm-hmm. We're in some serious troubled times right now. And there's a lot of unfaithful people. Mm-hmm. They're unfaithful. They're committed as long as the loophole doesn't apply. Mm. You know, they're committed as long as it doesn't cost them something. They're committed as long as they don't have to leave air conditioning to be able to do it. You know, mm-hmm. they'll follow God as long as there's provision for their flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, and it literally is, because you're saying charge. You're saying, let's go win the loss. Let's go raise up an army of shepherds who will lay down their lives for God's people. And all of a sudden, you end up grabbing your jaw as pain radiates through your body, and you limp away. Why? Because of the unfaithfulness of those who just can't be steadfast. For some reason, they think there's options. And when a soldier's going to war, I mean, you think about it. I mean, I think about Steve, you know. Steve Kalaszewski did two tours of duty in Iraq, and they had to count on each other.
Yeah.
And not somebody not being a faithful soldier, I mean, you think about it, that it costs somebody their lives not doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God, is that we got to understand that, you know, you're thinking, because America has been so unfaithful towards each other, been unfaithful towards, you know, different, you know, things happen, mm-hmm. but you're in communication as they're happening. You know, it's not, you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, but they're walking with you through it and out of it, but just acting like nothing ever happened. Listen, the people who are counting on you, imagine them having a bad tooth now because of the situation. Mm-hmm. Imagine them limping. And so often, you know, you have, believers blaming leadership, you know, for not taking them to better places. And right. It's just amazing that leader with the bad tooth and the lame foot's even still leading you. That's the miracle. Oh, yeah. That's the
right.
miracle.
That's right.
Because they are not doing it, because when they said charge, you didn't go nowhere. When they said go into the streets and win the loss, they said, who do we send? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When they said, you know, let's do what it says, and somebody says, can't we send somebody else to be able to do that? Mm. You know, when's the next Easter play? We could do a good play for them. Mm-hmm. You know? And so understand that. And so it's important. And this is the word of God. Wisdom says it's depending on an unfaithful man or a woman, it's like having a bad tooth or a lame foot. I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in this wisdom moment. In this wisdom moment, I want to be able to challenge you. And knowing that, you know, choose to be faithful. Choose to be a faithful person. Just go to your grave being faithful towards God and faithful to his people. I'm going to look at David. David was a faithful man. Was he a perfect man? No, he wasn't a perfect man. He had a lot of different things happen in his life, but he remained faithful to God. You could count on him. He understood the anointings of God. He understood his call that was on his life. He did not try to promote himself. He just said, you know, God's God, and he allowed things to happen as God was going to unfold them. And he was a faithful man, mm-hmm. you know, and he's the lineage now of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So I want to challenge you. You don't be a bad tooth in your boss's life. Mm. You know, you should be, as a believer, that your boss and your supervisor should be able to count on you. They should be able to count on you. If there needs to be, you should live in the learning curve. You should live in the learning curve and not be satisfied. Your boss, your supervisor, especially right now, but always, you should live in the learning curve. I don't want to learn nothing else. Well, you're a bad tooth to your boss. You're a bad tooth to your supervisor because they need you to stay up to date because technology is moving rapidly. Things are changing and you need to be dependable. You don't need to be, you know, unfaithful, like a bad tooth to the whole business there. And you're a Christian. Your greatest witness, like Tim Tebow, was do your job well.
Right.
You know, they didn't want to take him on. He said, listen, don't even pay me unless I do good. If I do good, then pay me. That's the way our life should be. Our life's just believers. Like, I know I'm going to be blessed. I know your business is going to do better. And because I'm going to be there and being faithful, it's going to increase. You know, your bottom line is going to increase. Things are going to be better at the office. So I want to encourage you, don't be a bad tooth to your boss. And don't be a lame foot to your parents. I want to encourage the children. Your children, be faithful to your parents. You know, be faithful to them. You know, don't be unfaithful to your parents. When your parents are expecting you, you're going through your business, your parents' business is going through difficult times, and they're needing to be faithful with that business or faithful into the father's business and ministry. Or faithful, your parents are going through difficult times, and you need to be faithful to your parents because it's like, you're like a bad tooth or a lame foot when your parents are going through a difficult time. And here you are, you're not being faithful to God and faithful to your parents out there. And I want to encourage also that don't be a bad tooth and a lame foot towards God's leadership in the church. It's time. We're going to have to stand up and rise to the occasion. It's going to take men and women who are willing to say, you know what? I take ownership for that bad tooth. I take ownership for you've been limping for a long, long time, but it's actually been because I've been unfaithful. I've been cheating on Jesus. You know, I've been having other gods besides this God. I have not been abiding. I have not been in the Word of God. I've been coming up with arguments that was different than what God says, and I refuse to cast them down. But from now on, from this point on, I'm going to be a faithful, faithful man, and you can count on me. Those are beautiful people. We call them heroes.
Yeah.
We call them friends. You know, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, right? Especially in difficult seasons, Proverbs talks about. But Proverbs 25:19 says, like a bad tooth or a lame foot, is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. We'll be right back.
You know, it's exciting, you know, Greg. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so pumped about wanting to know more about Him and giving my life to Him. So I remember I just graduated a 4-year university.
4 years.
4 years. Spent all this money in student loans.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my first real professional job, you know.
Wow.
And,
what was your degree in? What was your degree in?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that funny?
Well, you know, coming from 10 years of law enforcement just makes me think about it.
Well, you know, so I just get my real professional job. I'm working for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and I hadn't even been there 6 months, but God is just doing such an amazing work in my life, and I'm willing to just leave my job, and I wind up going to a Bible college, go back to school.
Yeah.
And
after
so,
4 years of getting a degree, you're going to go back to school.
Right.
Wow.
And so I wanted to prepare myself, you know, and I thought, I didn't even think that God could use me. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I just want to, you know, know more about God, you know.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I didn't even think, you know, I was going to be used or do anything for Him. And so I said, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So I go to school and I get all this education and I'm hearing every week it appeared, you know, we're going to go to China and we're going to go to India and we're going to take Africa. And I'm thinking, who's going to take me?
Because as a new believer, you have so many personal struggles and you want to be able to find out how to get past that. You know, how do I help me from me, right?
You tell me about it, right? So, you know, what was encouraging is to now to finish that and to be graduated. You know, it's so amazing what VFN University is all about and how we can equip people that are hungry, believers that want to do something for God and not get lost in theological references but you can grow as a person. You
4-inch
can
books.
Say it again.
4-inch books, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, goodness, trying to study Hebrew and you can't get out of Genesis. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Are you
really talking about Ezekiel right now? You know what I mean? They're like, you know. I love when Mark Twain
can you help me turn my head right now?
Exactly.
That turn the pages.
I thought Mark Twain said, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but he says, not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures I do understand, you know? And
yeah.
It's like, let's start individually here. Let's work on our own growth and walk with the Lord. And so VFNU is a fresh perspective where a student is not, it's not about what you can do for God. It's about what God can do through you.
Right.
Oh, and through a personal abiding relationship. So, you know, if you're out there and you're saying, you know, I've got all this education and I know all this stuff, but it's just not connecting. I need more myself. I'll tell you, you know, VFNU is for you. You can reach us at vfnuniversity.org and reach out and explore the opportunities because you're more important to the Lord than what you can do for Him. But He does want to use you.
Dude, that's what's so important, and the fact is that we first have to minister from the overflow of our personal relationship with Him. So we start learning all this knowledge without knowing how much He loves us and that we're in His family and we're working from a place of success, not for success.
Absolutely.
It's just so much safer, you know.
Sure. And out of relationship is a whole lot better than out of your head knowledge, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know it. Totally know it. Well, more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I mean, that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
You know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that, you can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this. If you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store. Download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos in the Extra Hour. Well, we're just talking about the wisdom moment, and we're so glad that we get a chance to be able to talk about ourselves, wash our minds and thoughts over, and encourage you to every day listen to the wisdom moment and share it with your friends. You know, you want wisdom. You want to be able to have wisdom because wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So you can be smart as anything and not have wisdom. And the very fact that you don't have wisdom, you're the only one that knows you don't have it. You're thinking, oh, really? Oh, my goodness. You know, oh, my goodness. Well, you know, here we are, you know, talking more about, you know, understanding, you know, Mormonism, understanding what's taking place, you know, with a different Jesus being spoken of throughout our country right now. And when you hear about different Jesus, what you're talking about with that is that they, even though the name is correct, you know, even though the name is correct, is that the description, the commandments, the word, the laws, everything that they're saying about that Jesus is not the same. It says that it's not that Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Paul talks about that. You need to be able to go to the torch and get the highlights talking about angel of light, you know, talking about, you know, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. No wonder his servants masquerade as angels of righteousness. And notice that every religion talks about, you know, righteous works and
you know, you got to do better, and you got to find yourself, and you need to, you know, save everybody. You know, those different types of things that it's right. They're righteous acts. Mm-hmm. And, but those are men's religions because of the fact of saying that the only way you can be saved is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us because we couldn't be saved in our own works. Does that mean that there's not works in the church? No, but it means that salvation comes first. And as having a personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, fruit happens. You just, God's goodness begins to come out of your life. Not your goodness, because the only good in us is God, as we talked about earlier, is that God's goodness begins to come out of our life. Fruit begins to happen. And he says, go around and do good deeds amongst men so that God would get glory for it. Well, the reason why he gets glory for it, because it's not your goodness coming out of you. It's God empowering you to be good.
That's right.
You know, and with that, you know, we talk about, you know, the two different Jesuses that are being talked about right now. And, you know, President Barack Obama talks about a Jesus that does not, it's kind of a mingling of what some of the scripture says about him. But there's a whole nother genre of things that Jesus was totally and strictly against and the viewpoints. And it's almost like scripture's use to defend, you know, use out of context to defend the very thing that Jesus wouldn't want,
mm-hmm.
you know. And God is for everyone. He loves us all, and he would that no man would be lost. And there is only one hell. So, you know, which sin sends you to hell, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
right.
The big question. Religious folk think everybody sinned but their own.
Yeah.
And the truth mm-hmm. is that we've all, this is what Paul says. He listed a whole list of sins. And he says, those who do such things won't enter into the kingdom of God, but such were some of you. And right. So that's us. You know, that's who we are. So we're reaching out to ourselves. And the only thing difference in us and them is we already found the saving grace and the love and the forgiveness of God. And we want them to be able to find him in it as well. And we're not trying to lead them to us. We're leading them to God and how much he loves them. And he's willing to forgive them like you forgave us. And make him the Lord of their life. That's what we're doing. And so, but if you lead them to another Jesus, it's not going to, you know, it's all going to end up in the same place. I mean, there's only one hell and one heaven. And you got to, if you go to the torch and you go to the upper right-hand corner and type in, you know, Mormonism or just Mormon, we have some, because I began a dialogue discussing, we wanted to understand, you know, is this the same Jesus? Because they talk about Jesus. They sing to Jesus. They talk about God. And you'll find out some very important things that it's a different Jesus they're talking about. And the reason why
it's a counterfeit gospel.
Yeah, and the reason why they're saying they're called Mormons is because they follow Mormonism, which was an angel that interpreted some Egyptian text. You got to go back and listen to it, you know, and which really confuses me about, you know, Glenn Beck, because he's a Mormon. He's a good American. He's a Mormon. He's a very intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very intelligent right. man. He's into thinking things through. Maybe too much, but it's like, did you think this one over? You know.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, this is the dangers. Listen, this is the danger. When you think you can find God in your mind, you've already lost him because you find God in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard encounter. You know, you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. You don't reason in your mind to find God.
Right.
You know, and God confounds the wisdom of the wise, and our prayers are for this good man,
yeah,
and a good American, Glenn Beck. It'd be so cool. All of a sudden, just like you'll hear in those segments of talking about it, and find it on the torch, where previous people who walked as a Mormon, they can't, and you know, that it was just such a good thing, but he came to a point. He says, you know, I just needed Jesus. Right. You know, I needed Jesus. I really had to have an encounter with him. And so he had to decide. He pulled off the side of the road and said, Jesus, I need you. And so he got saved. And when he got saved, he realized the difference in the two. And one guy says something to the fact of this, and you can probably do a better Pat or John, but he's, you know, former, he goes, even if it's the best thing ever invented,
mm-hmm.
it's invented.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And good is the enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
When man's goodness is the enemy of a relationship with God. And so in that, you know, one of their rules that they developed over a period of time is, you know, his interview with Tim, right?
Tim Russert.
Yeah, Tim Russert. And we had that for you. We're going to play that for you so you can actually hear this. This is an interview with Tim Russert with
and it's dated. Tim Russert has passed away, but
yeah. Tell us a little bit about Tim.
Tim Russert was worked for many, many years on Meet the Press, and it's a Sunday morning talk show, political views, and he was a great interviewer, very passionate. And one of the things I remember most about Tim Russert is his passion, his love for his dad. You know, they had a great warm relationship, and he was finally talking about his father, and he'll be missed.
Yeah, yeah, and you wrote a book. I don't have the name of the book here, but hopefully we'll get it before the program's out.
It's me and Big Russ or something like that.
Yeah, Big Russ and me. Big Russ,
yeah,
and,
Big
me.
Russ and me.
Father and son lessons life, lessons of life. And it's just so cool. Yeah, and he did his job well. It's another person that did his job well. He was just loved, and he came to did his homework. And here he is. He's interviewing Mitt Romney. And he's talking very specifically about some of the things that we're talking about. We will make this available for you on the Torch. But listen up to this interview. And he's interviewing him in April of 2011. So this is his first running, I believe. No, actually, this is not April 2011. This is when he's first running.
Yeah.
That would have been back in, what, 08?
Yeah.
08.
So listen up.
Raise the issue of color of skin. In 1954, the U.S. Supreme Court, Brown versus the Board of Education, desegregated all our public schools. In 1964, civil rights laws, giving full equality to black Americans. And yet it wasn't until 1978 that the Mormon Church decided to allow blacks to participate fully. Here was the headlines in the papers in June of 78. Mormon Church dissolves black bias. Citing new revelation from God, the president of the Mormon Church decreed for the first time black males could fully participate in church rites.
You have to understand that how the Mormon religion works, they call it the Mormon Church, but it's the Mormon religion, is their president supposedly hears oracles from God. And up until 1978, they did not hear that God loves not just African Americans, black human beings on the face of the earth.
People of color.
And but they referred to specifically as black. I don't know about the color as general. But and so it wasn't until 1978. I mean, 1978. You tell me how this is going to play out on the stage before America, you know, because you're going to hear the loyalty to this religion that, and it matters, you know, the fact that I love Jesus is going to determine my decisions, and then when I pray and I hear him, and even though I may have said left yesterday, and if God convicts me and it's got to go right, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to come out and I'll say right. And, you know, your convictions and your faith is very important. And so I just don't see, you know, how in the world, you know, and, you know, any African American or a person of color, when you think in 1978, you know, you said that up until then, the God that you're listening to, which is, by the way, you know, I got news for white people that Jesus is not white. And, it's like, really? That alone should, I mean, there's a whole bunch of that alones with the Mormon. I mean, if you go and listen to the stuff we have available for you on the Torch, you're going to be totally, it's not going to be, you're just informed because God loves those who are in this world. And if you happen to be in any religion, that's a man searching for God. You know, he's searching for God. And so it's a spiritual man's easier to reach than a man that's not spiritual. Because you can begin to direct them to God and a true God. But here he is. Tim just asked him very specifically, you know, isn't it true on June the 10th, 1978, when it was written in the Washington Post, it says Mormon Church dissolves black bias, citing new revelation from God. The president of the Mormon Church decreed that for the first time, black males could fully participate in church rites. Think about it. This is particular. So let's listen up.
Time black males could fully participate in church rites. You were 31 years old and your church was excluding blacks from full participation.
I do want to say this, that if you study American history, a lot of people in the name of Jesus, you know, did the very same thing in the Christian church did the same thing. And that's what the Northern and the Southern battle was about in the Civil War that took place. But this is a religion called the Mormon religion that he's confronting him with this. And it took them all the way to 1978 And they're saying that I heard from God in 1978, and he said, God's going, never mind. You know, yeah. I decided after all the years of slavery and abuse and neglect and rejection, you know, oh, anyway. Listen.
Catch a clue.
Catch a clue. And that's called Sins of Our Fathers, by the way. You know, we have a president that writes a book called, you know, Dreams from My Father. Well, we have to realize that only by the grace of the God, grace of God, are we not eating the fruit of the better grapes from the sins of our fathers. It's not because that we're good, as we talked about. It's because God is good, and that we have to understand that that was a huge injustice. But keep on listening up.
Didn't you think, what am I doing part of an organization that is viewed by many as a racist organization?
I'm very proud of my faith. And the faith of my fathers. And I certainly believe that it is a faith. Well, it's true. And I love my faith. And I'm not going to distance myself in any way from my faith. But you can see what I believed and what my family believed by looking at our lives. My dad marched with Martin Luther King. My mom was a tireless crusader for civil rights. You may recall that my dad walked out of the Republican convention in 1964 in San Francisco, in part because Barry Goldwater, in his speech, gave my dad the impression that he was someone who was going to be weak on civil rights. So
we have to understand is that if his loyalties to, and as a whole, it's an intricate business. You know, the Mormon
religion.
That was religion.
A very huge statement.
Yeah, because he was in rebellion against his own leadership. Right. He's saying his father and himself. You know, if they're saying prior to that, you know, and it's like, you know, who is God here?
And you know, if you won't distance yourself from something as common sense as that, what else would you not distance yourself from?
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that, you know, while, you know, he's walking and marching with King, he's connecting himself to a religion that actually denied King as a minister, that would not, you know, accept his priesthood. And, wow. And of course, I believe that, you know, Dr. King was an apostle. He was a prophet, you know, speaking to a nation. He led a people, you know, to a place of freedom. So anyway, we're just seeing a different Jesus. And you got to go back, and we're not going to give a download on everything again. You go back to the torch and see it. But that was just something that brought to our attention. We're going to see that again. I mean, you're going to see that. And imagine you have, you know, President Barack Obama, and you have Governor Mitt Romney on a stage. Tim Russert's not going to be there, but somebody's going to bring that question up. And, you know, and you're going to see that the only hope for America is the church repenting, is the church falling to our knees and saying, you know, we've sinned, we've turned away from you and your ways. You're not going to throw your hat behind some political ring, because if you throw your hat behind some political man thinking that the economy is the answer and that we just need a better way to do business, then you're choosing Baal over God. If both of their viewpoints of Jesus is a different Jesus, no matter who gets in the next term, you threw your hat behind a man instead of your knees on the ground at the cross. Do you really think our destiny as a nation is going to survive that? And when he holds the king's hearts in their hand, I'm not saying who's going to, I'm just saying that our issue right now is not, we have two men preaching a different Jesus, you know, profounding a different, using the right name, but if you find out who they're talking about, it's a different one than you read about. And if you begin to read the word, you can find out that it's not the same Jesus. And Paul says, if anybody comes to you preaching another Jesus, you know, let him be accursed. And that's when he's talking about angel of light and servants of righteousness and false apostles and all these different things. We have to wake up. Listen, it is so, we're coming to the end of the extra hour here. I just want to let you know, we got to stay alert. You can see that on the torch. If you want to find out more, you go to VFNTV.com. Don't forget about the 24/7 loop that will come on in just a few moments. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow.